So welcome everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. First item of business is our message from the governor, which is in accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment. The meeting will be recorded. The recording will be posted on CHIFA's website within 7 days of the meeting. Since there is no public comment on today's agenda, members of the public will not be permitted to speak during the meeting with the exception of CHESLA consultants and professionals. Votes must be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive an email or text advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, we need to start with a roll call. When I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are participating in the meeting. I will start with board members. For the record, I'm Peter Lisi, chair of the board, obviously and present. Board members, Ben Barnes.
Here.
Thank you. Jeff Beckham.
Here.
Thank you. Martin Budd.
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Present.
Thank you. Daryl Hill. Is
Daryl's present. Apologize.
Thank you, Daryl. Julie Savino. Janet Weldon.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Kelly Marie Valerase. No. Laura Baker. I did get a message that Laura might be joining us about 10 o'clock. So let's move over to CHESLA staff. Denise Aguilera. Denise, are you on?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Kevin Berry. Kevin? No, Kevin. Jessica Bishop. Jessica?
Present.
No, Jessica's there. Dan Junji.
Present.
Thank you. Josh Herlock.
I'm here.
Thank you. Carly Levin.
Present.
Thank you. Cynthia Peoples.
I'm present.
Thank you. Shannon Reynolds.
Here.
Thank you. Kara Stewart.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kara. And Yesenia Torres Rivera.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, consultants and vendors, if I call your company's name, please identify yourself. Bank of America.
Joe Santoro.
Thank you, Joe. Hilltop Securities.
Tim Webb.
Thank you. Pullman and Comley.
Sandra Doss.
Sandra Doss and anyone else?
Judith.
Thank you, Judith. Anyone from RBC Capital Markets?
Yes, you have Jeff Wagner, Kara King Loy, Tyler Walsh, and Rob Chipotle.
Okay, thank you. Anyone from US Bank?
William Kapkowski is on.
Thank you. Anyone else? And CHESLA Advisory Committee. Anyone from the CHESLA Advisory Committee? No? Okay. Is there anyone who I didn't call?
Hi, it's Joanne Makowitz.
Okay, Joanne, thank you. Anyone else?
And Julia Polano.
All right, sorry, you two. You're not on my list. I apologize.
And Peter, no, I see Kevin's connecting into the audio.
Okay.
Kevin Berry.
Kevin, are you present?
It shows him working on connecting to the audio.
Okay, hopefully when he's on, he will let us know. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none. The meeting is called to order. First item of business are the minutes from November 10th. Hopefully folks have taken a few minutes to take a look at them. Is there a motion to accept the minutes from November 10th, 2021?
So moved.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second.
We've got a second. Thank you, Andrew. There's been a motion moved and seconded to accept the minutes as presented. Is there any discussion? Edits, changes, clarifications to the minutes from November 10th? Anyone? Hearing none, all those in favor accepting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Minutes are accepted. Next item of business is CSLF contribution to the Refi Connecticut Loan Program. Jeanette, do you want to walk us through that or Josh?
Sure. So as you are aware, we've been funding the Refi CT program from dollars that we have on our balance sheet that are outside the trust. And those are dollars that have been derived from the repayment of refi loans that are also outside of the trust. And we currently have $1.5 million, Josh, that we have approximately?
I looked yesterday. We have $1 million in the loan account.
Okay. So we have $1 million available of our own, you know, refi dollars available to fund new loans. And what we wanted to do is just to, obtaining a transfer of dollars from CSLF or access to dollars from CSLF, we wanted to have just some fallback dollars for making refi loans in the event that there is demand that exceeds the $1 million that we currently have available. And again, all of this is, you know, outside of the trust. And so, you know, we think demand could be increasing because, for example, in connection with the employer student loan repayment program, there's actually a Connecticut tax benefit for employers who participate in that that became effective on January 1st. So there's the possibility that the administration, the governor's office, will be highlighting that program, and that could generate more volume. We could also see some traditional refi volume that develops out of the, you know, that develops out of the Alliance District program. So that would be in addition to some Alliance District loans, there could be some overflow loans that are just traditional regular refi CT loans, and we want to have dollars available for that should it occur. And then also just recently in the past quarter, refi CT volume actually has gone up. So in order to, you know, have the flexibility to deal with those possibilities and basically bridge us to the extent that there is an increase in volume, this would bridge us to any decisions or analysis that would be made at the time of the spring bond issue. We wanted the CSLA board to, this is a resolution for them to accept the transfer from CSLF. And then there's a companion resolution for the CSLF board meeting about CSLF making this contribution. So that is the resolution that is shown on the screen in front of you. And it gives, you know, it states accepting the contribution and giving the executive director the authority to take any action necessary to accept it and effectuate funding of refi CT loans.
How will you invest the money while we're holding it?
So the money will be invested as is stated for existing operating funds of CSLA, which is in government money markets, and kept very liquid, so it's secure, it has liquidity, and there's no market risk. And that would be consistent with the investment policy that was previously adopted.
Do you put all the money in STIF, the state treasurer's money market?
It's a combination of STIF and government money markets, yes.
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. Jeanette, thank you very much for the explanation on that. Are there any questions for Jeanette or discussion on the resolution?
Yeah, this is Ben. I have a quick question for Jeanette. Do you have any anticipation of the amount of contribution from CSLF that's available and that we might anticipate coming as a result of this action?
Well, the requested transfer is $2 million so what's in the resolution on the CSLF board side is for $2 million.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
And what happens if you don't end up needing it or using it all, Jeanette? What happens to the fund? It just stays invested?
We could hold it until it is needed. So even though the concept is it would kind of bridge us until we might have a bond transaction in the spring, if we haven't used it by then, we would continue to hold it and use it over the course of coming months, you know, into next year even. So it would just be the source of ongoing REEF ICT loans over the months ahead.
I point out, of course, that people think that interest rates are going to go up. So the refi business may slow down if interest rates actually do go up significantly. And I take it, unless we changed, if we found after 3 or 4 years we were still sitting on $2 million, we could resolve to do something else with it, or the CSLF first could permit it, and then this board could permit it too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not anticipating that we would be holding it for 3 or 4 years unused, but certainly we would have the flexibility to reassess.
Mr. Chair, this is Tim Webb with Hilltop Securities. Just one comment there with regard to Mr. Budd's comments. I would agree with you that if interest rates do move up, you do lose some of the low-hanging fruit. But if you think about it, as interest rates move up, borrowers who use PLUS loans will still want to be able to refinance those because they'll be at a higher rate than the CHESLA Refi CT. And borrowers who are going through for-profit lenders such as Sallie Mae and the like, they oftentimes are way above what interest rates are that CHESLA would offer. So even though interest rates go up, you could still see refi volume down the road.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, there's been a motion made and seconded to approve the resolution as presented. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we're moving on to the transfer of funds for the Refi Connecticut Loan Program. Jeanette, do you want to
walk that? This resolution is saying that, again, outside of the trust, the refi loans that have been made outside of the trust, as payments are made on those, it goes into the revenue account. And this is just giving CHESLA the ability to periodically move excess dollars from that revenue fund over to the refi loan fund so that new loans can be made from the dollars generated by loan repayments. So it's something I think previously we had done, we had came to the board on sort of a case-by-case basis, and this resolution would just give management the flexibility to continually do that when feasible.
I'll move the resolution.
Thank you, Marty. We have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you. We got a second from Andrew and Julie. Is there any discussion? Any questions for Jeanette or Chesil staff on this one? Questions, comments? All right, hearing none, motion's been made and seconded to accept the resolution as presented. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you, the motion carries unanimously. Josh and Yesenia, you going to talk about the scholarship program manual, please?
So I'll start on page 20. We have our scholarship memo here. So just to start, a review of the third year of the Chesil administered need-based scholarship program was a great success. For the undergrad scholarship, we were able to award 185 students out of 261 that qualified. This was an increase from the number of scholarships awarded in fiscal year 2021, which was 165 scholarships out of 318 qualified applicants. The increase in number of awards is attributable to the Chesil Scholarship Account holding unused proceeds from schools and earned interest from prior years. We also wanted to note the removal of the EFC requirement for the Chesil Certificate Scholarship. This was a welcome change. So far this fiscal year, 14 certificate scholarships have dispersed, totaling $17,500. There are another five applications in the pipeline awaiting enrollment verification. To compare this to fiscal year 2021, their certificate program only dispersed a total of seven scholarships, which totaled $8,750. Based on the scholarship application volume for certificates, we are expecting to utilize all the certificate scholarship funding by the end of the fiscal year. And I also wanted to note that most of the certificate scholarships have been for students pursuing advanced manufacturing. For the upcoming year, Chesil will continue using Foundant for its applications, and the certificate program scholarship will remain on a first come first serve basis until funds run out. And lastly, while we were unable to host a live in-person scholarship event due to the pandemic, I just wanted to acknowledge Shannon Reynolds put together a Chesil video recognizing all the recipients, and the video was very well received. So with that, I'll turn it over to Yesenia to handle the rest of the scholarship memo.
Hi, so the application period, we plan to keep it the same as previous years. The application will open for degree granting programs. It will open on March 1st, and the application window will close on May 1st, and recipients will be notified in July. The application for the certificate programs will open in July 1st for enrollment in programs starting on or after July 1st, 2022. The application will remain open until June 2023 or until funds run out, whichever comes first. So the allocation for scholarship programs, as mentioned above, Chesil saw an increase in certificate scholarship applications due to the removal of the EFC component. Staff has marketed the scholarship for certificate programs to financial aid directors, certificate program directors, state workforce boards, social media, and quarterly Chesil newsletters. Monthly scholarship reminders were also sent out to community colleges, which we noticed was also a significant impact on the amount of scholarships we've received. These efforts will continue in the upcoming year. of the 500,000 that has been determined as a feasible level of scholarship awards annually, the authority proposes 470,000 earmarked for the degree granting program and 30,000 for certificate programs. Any unused certificate program funds will continue to be available in the scholarship account. We intend to keep the individual awards for degree granting programs at $1,500 for half-time students and $3,000 for full-time students. We also plan to keep the scholarship awards for certificate programs at $1,250 at a $3,000 allocation that will result in 24 recipients. Overall, we look forward to continued success in the scholarship program. Any questions?
I have a question when you have a chance.
Please go ahead. This is Ben.
Yeah, this is Ben. First of all, thank you for running this program. Providing financial aid programs to students is complicated and demanding, and I appreciate your efforts. Can you tell me, is this a last dollar scholarship in the sense that, you know, especially in the community college context, our neediest students are, with a full Pell award, receive enough Pell assistance to fully cover tuition and fees, and typically a few hundred dollars for additional costs toward the total cost of attendance. In that situation, would they still be eligible for a $3,000 award that would allow them to either bank their Pell for future years of their college career or to support their cost of attendance, or is it limited to tuition and fees?
Hi, Ben. So it's not limited to just tuition and fees, anything that would be considered as part of the total cost of attendance.
Okay, thank you. And the last question is, at some point, can you provide just statistics about where the students who receive these scholarships are attending? I'd love to know that. I hope some of them are our institutions at CSCU. I imagine they are, but I'd love to reinforce the value of this to my colleagues there, and that would be helpful to me.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. I believe each year at the undergrad level, we provide that breakdown, so we can provide you those each year. And then we can also provide you a summary of what institutions have utilized the certificate scholarships.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh and Yesenia. Anyone else have questions? Questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much.
Peter.
Shannon.
Peter.
Yes.
Peter, this is Denise. The board needs to take action on the recommendation for the scholarship allocation.
Ah, okay. I'm sorry. Let me back up here.
Okay. Question. I guess there's no chance that you'll have XX scholarship money. We say if the certificate money isn't used, it could be for scholarships. We don't say if the scholarship money isn't used, it could be used for certificates. But I assume that's because we never have any money left over from scholarships. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we never have issues getting the undergraduate scholarships out the door. Off the top of my head, I believe we might have $40,000 or $50,000 remaining in the scholarship account now, which some of that is earmarked still for the certificates. But you are correct. There is a possibility, if you vote on this allocation now, that much like previous years, we come back and say, okay, Chesil Board, you originally approved 470,000 for undergraduate scholarships. We would like to award a little bit more based on what we see available, excuse me, in the account.
Well, would it be useful to have part of this resolution say any leftover money in scholarships could be used for certificates? I mean, I think our certificate program is very helpful to the state economy.
Absolutely is.
I mean, I think it's a fair idea. I'm, from my perspective, I feel like we're denying Chesil undergraduate scholarships anyways. So we're always going to be using those dollars, and typically we just then award more undergrad scholarships.
Okay, okay. Fine. So I'm happy to.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jeanette.
No, I was just going to say sometimes there's circumstances where, you know, the award changes because the person decided not to go to school. And so that's right. How we a balance can develop in the scholarship account. And typically, you know, there's no shortage of people who were denied an award. And so generally we sort of go to the next person up in the process. That's all.
Fine. I'm happy to leave the resolution as stated.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the resolution as presented?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Are there further questions for Josh or Jeanette on the scholarship program resolution, memo and resolution? Questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all those motions been made and seconded. Those in favor of accepting the scholarship program resolution regarding the allocation, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? All right, motion passes. Thank you very much. All right, now we move on to Shannon and the outreach update. Shannon?
Good morning, everybody. This should be short and sweet. Just wanted to give you guys an update on our financial aid presentations that we are offering for free to all of the high schools across Connecticut. Through the month of, I think, November to December, we reached out to over 150 high schools across the state of Connecticut. That's via email, sent out mailers, as well as doing some follow-up calls. For the month of January, CHESLA has presented 3 virtual presentations from Greenwich High, Brookfield, and Plainville High School. And it consisted of both juniors and seniors and their parents. And then we are currently working with the Supervisor of Counseling and College Career Readiness for CREC to do a mass virtual presentation for all the CREC magnet schools. And we're set to have that done for March 4th, I believe, is a tentative date. And then just I included kind of the feedback we got from Brookfield from one of the counselors. So it's been great thus far. We're just looking to kind of connect with as many students and families just to help with the financial aid process and understanding award letters. So we are off to a good start for this year.
Great.
Any questions?
Any questions? All right. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Okay. Now for the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. Very exciting, wonderful bit of business. Jeanette, would you like to walk us through that?
Yeah, I'll lead off. And before we get into the specifics of the Alliance District program, I also wanted to mention the same law that created the Alliance District program also provided for the creation of a working group to take a look at ways that, you know, CHESLA might expand access to its loan programs and also to sort of take a look at the private student loan industry in Connecticut. So that working group, I was a co-chair along with Representative Jason Doucette, who is House Chair of the Banking Committee. Julie Savino was also part of that working group. And it also had representatives of from student borrower representatives. So there's an organization called the Student Borrower Protection Center and some other sort of consumer organizations that were part of that working group. The working group had its final meeting earlier this week and has put together some very general recommendations that focus on increasing state aid for scholarships and also potential state aid for loan programs, kind of maybe similar to the structure that we have with the Alliance District programs, and also to enhance financial literacy programs and information gathering with regard to private lending act, private student loan lending activity in the state, and also the rate of increase in college tuition and fees. So that's, so I just wanted to mention that. I know I've mentioned it previously, but that's all part of the same law that created the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. So,
Jeanette, on that subject, how long is the report of the committee? How many pages, roughly?
It's under 10 pages.
Oh, could you? I would like a copy. Maybe you should circulate it to the board. It's what Chesley does.
Yes, I will. We will definitely send it out as soon as possible.
Thank you.
So, with regard to the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program, which we've discussed multiple times, so the law does require CHESLA to enter into a memorandum of agreement with the State Department of Education. Denise has drafted that document, and we've shared it with SDE for their input and agreement. And then there is also the program manual, which Denise has developed for the program. And this is, again, something that the board would need to vote approval of. And we also solicited, as needed, the input of our outside Consumer Finance Council. Josh has communicated extensively with our originator and servicer with regard to the mechanics of the program, and to make sure that you know, they're on board with the things that they will need to do. And then, as I've mentioned previously, the funding for the program will come from the state. There will be no CHESLA dollars used and no bond dollars used. And this will strictly be a refinance program. At one point, we had contemplated maybe doing a subsidy on some existing CHESLA in-school loans. We are structuring it strictly as a special refinance program. The State Bond Commission approved $7 million of funding in December, and so we are anticipating having dollars available to hit our springtime launch date. So with that, Denise will walk through the memorandum of agreement and address the program manual, and Josh can address any questions about the program mechanics.
Thanks, Jeanette. So as Jeanette mentioned, the legislation authorizing the establishment of the program requires CHESLA and the Department of Education to enter into a memorandum of agreement that sets forth the eligibility criteria and guidelines for the program. The legislation requires the memorandum of agreement to include the applicant eligibility, interest rate subsidies and principal limits on the loans, the employment verification process for applicants, and the requirement that an interest rate subsidy terminate for a subsidy recipient who ceases to meet the employment requirements. So, in a nutshell, the program is a student loan refinance loan program for Alliance teachers that provides a 3% interest rate subsidy on a loan while the teacher is employed at an Alliance District school. So I'll just start with going over some of the relevant definitions in Section 1 of the MOA. So an Alliance District is defined in the Connecticut General Statutes as a school district for a town that is among the towns with the 30 lowest accountability index scores, as calculated by the Department of Education, or was previously designated as an Alliance District by the Commissioner of Education for the fiscal years ending 2013 through 2017. And the accountability index score that's used to determine whether a town is an Alliance District means it's a score that results from multiple student school and district level measures as weighed by the Department of Education. So the measures must include a performance index score, which is the score as calculated by the Department of Education using mastery test data of records test data of record assigned to student subgroups, schools, or district schools, and high school graduation rates. And the measures can also include academic growth over time, attendance and chronic absenteeism, post-secondary education career readiness, and physical fitness. So there's currently 33 Alliance districts. So the next definition is Alliance District School. Kara, could you pull up document 7A?
Could you tell us where most of the districts are, what part of the state or what cities?
They're all over, Marty. We can certainly send you a list of all of them. You know, Hartford is on there, Bridgeport. So I can't recall all of them, but we can certainly send you a list.
That would be nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the next definition is Alliance District School. And this one actually needs to be modified a bit. I discussed this with the Department of Education and they agree that we should modify it. Kara's pulled up the change that we're going to make. And the purpose of the change is just to clarify and so that there's no confusion that state charter schools do not constitute an Alliance District public school. So state charter schools do not fall under the umbrella of an Alliance District, but they are public schools. So we're just gonna tweak the definition a bit just to state that an Alliance District school means an Alliance District school public school, rather than saying it's a public school located in an Alliance District, because the Alliance District is actually the Hartford School public school districts, you know, which encompasses the entire city. So we don't want to have any confusion on that. So that's the slight change there. So an Alliance refi loan is a loan made under the program to an Alliance teacher to refinance eligible education debt. And this debt is limited to CHESL loans and other private education loans. Federal loans are excluded from the definition as teachers may be eligible for public service loan forgiveness. So we thought that it was prudent to exempt those types of loans from the program. The Alliance refi loan pricing matrix is the matrix that the board will approve later on in the meeting. And that will be applicable to the loans in the absence of the 3% interest rate subsidy. The Alliance refi loan interest rate is the interest rate on the Alliance refi loan that based on the matrix in the absence of the 3% subsidy. The Alliance refi loan application and agreement is an application and agreement that a borrower can submit to apply for reinstatement of an interest rate subsidy if they're reemployed by an Alliance district. This would be used in the event that an Alliance teacher separates from service, has their interest rate subsidy terminated, and then they're reemployed. The employment certification form is a form that the applicant will be required to submit and upload with their application for purposes of certifying their employment as an Alliance teacher. There'll be a section on the form for the Alliance District HR office to verify the employment of the applicant. The Alliance District Employment Verification Form is a form that will be used to verify employment 3 times a year. The Alliance District HR office will submit this form to CHESLA for purposes of determining whether the teacher is still employed. The initial interest rate is the rate that will apply to a loan at the time of loan origination, which is the Alliance refi loan interest rate reduced by the 3% interest rate subsidy. And the interest rate subsidy is a 3 percentage point interest rate subsidy that applies to a loan while a borrower is employed as an Alliance teacher. So moving on to section 2 of the MOA, to be eligible for a loan, an applicant must submit an application, be an Alliance teacher with current Connecticut educator certification, and have a minimum FICO score of 580 and a debt to income ratio less than or equal to 50%. The minimum loan amount is $5,000, and the cumulative principal amount that a borrower can have out on all Alliance Refi loans is capped at $25,000. As mentioned before, the initial interest rate on a loan at origination will be the Alliance Refi loan rate minus the 3% interest rate subsidy. Borrowers can also receive a 0.25% interest rate reduction if monthly payments are made via ACH. The promissory note will require borrowers to notify CHESLA no less than 14 days prior to separation from an Alliance District School. And employment verification will be conducted 3 times a year in October, February, and June. In each of these months, the HR department of the Alliance District will submit to CHESLA the employment verification form. After receipt of the form, CHESLA will notify the servicer of any borrowers that are no longer employed by an Alliance district, and the servicer will then terminate the 3% interest rate subsidy in advance of the next billing period, and the Alliance Refi loan interest rate will then apply to the loan going forward. The repayment period for the loan can be 5, 10, or 15 years as selected by the applicant. And it's been determined that past interest rate subsidies will not be recouped from borrowers who no longer qualify for an interest rate subsidy. The forbearance provisions for the program mirror those of the CHESLA Refi program, and a loan will be considered in default if it's 120 days more or more past due. The loan will also be eligible for discharge upon the death or permanent and total disability of a borrower. I think that's it for the MOA. Are there any questions?
Questions for Denise?
Okay. Do teachers who teach in inter-district magnet schools, chef magnets, or other things like that are operated by, I mean, I know the Bridgeport Public Schools and the Hartford Public Schools both operate inter-district magnets outside of their city limits. Are those teachers eligible? The language may require even more specificity if you're trying to rope in all those additional schools.
Well, I think some of the, like a magnet school, for instance, I believe that falls under the jurisdiction of the school district of the town. So in that case—
Right, the Hartford Public Schools operates a magnet school in Manchester, mm-hmm. and Bridgeport Public Schools operates a magnet school in Trumbull. And both of those are part of an inter-district magnet school program. And it's not clear to me whether those count as public schools under the definition that you've provided. So I just offer that maybe make sure that you have a common understanding, because those are both pretty big schools and there are a lot of teachers in those magnet programs who may want to participate.
Sure. So we'll discuss that with SDE and make sure we're in agreement and understanding of how they come into play.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. That's an important distinction. Appreciate that. Any other questions or comments? So hearing none, there is a resolution to allow the executive director to enter into an MOA with the State Department of Education. I believe the resolution is in everyone's meeting packet. So if there are no further questions for Denise, is there a motion to accept the resolution as presented to allow the executive director to enter into an MOA with the state?
Could you tell me what page that's on? Because I want to make sure it gives the executive director a chance to change wordings
page 23, Marty.
With such a vision as the executive director. I'll move that.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Julie. So the motion's been made and seconded to adopt the resolution as presented. Are there any further questions or comments? Anyone? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. And let's see, now there would be the program manual. Denise, are you going to?
Yes, just briefly. So the program manual was patterned after the CHEVSLA refi manual. Right. And the only material differences between the manuals is the inclusion of the criteria and guidelines contained in the MOA that the board just approved and the relevant definitions that are specific to the teacher refi loan program. The same, Kara, if you could put up a 7B, please. So the same definition change needs to be made to the program manual, just to clarify that the Alliance, it applies to Alliance District Public Schools. And other than that, I don't think there's anything else that I need to go through in the manual, because it's basically, you know, some identical to the refi other than inclusion of the specific program criteria and parameters, unless, you know, a board member wants to discuss any particular section or has any questions on any of it.
Would anyone like to pose a question, comment regarding the change in the program manual? Okay. Hearing none, there's a resolution. Do you want to put that up on the screen, Kara? Okay. Resolution to adopt the program manual for the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. Would someone like to make? Go ahead, Marty.
Well, it says in form of attachment A, but there's already one change. I don't know how we take that into account in the resolution. Do you want to change attachment A, or should we put in the resolution attachment A as changed? Or
I think you can just say you can replace the page. I believe it's page
32.
To replace the page with the corrected revised definition.
All right, you'll do that for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then I'll make the motion. It's attachment A is changed.
Okay, thank you, Marty. We've got a motion. Someone like to second it?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. All right, we've got a motion and a second for the program manual resolution with attachment A. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. And now on next agenda item, would someone like to move that we move into executive session for purposes of trade secret and attorney client privilege discussion? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Julie. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Ben. All those in favor of moving into executive session, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, no votes were taken during executive session. Is it Jeanette or Josh to put the pricing matrix on the table for discussion and a vote?
So it's really just a vote to approve
right.
the matrix, you know, because the discussion has already occurred. So it's just right. a vote to approve the proposed matrix for the Alliance right. District program. Yeah.
Would someone like to make a motion to adopt the pricing matrix as presented?
Well, I think there's a change to be made as we discussed.
Right. With the correction to the coding
right.
for servicer and originator purposes, yes.
Right. Yeah, and I've already made those changes.
So a motion is necessary to adopt the pricing matrix with the changes as discussed.
So moved. Julie.
All right, thank you, Julie. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Is there further discussion? Are we all comfortable with the changes that are being made?
Yes.
Discussion? Questions? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of the motion to adopt the pricing matrix with changes being adopted, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. The motion carries. All right. Next item of business is the amendment to the CHESL loan program, the program manual. Denise, are you going to present that?
Sure. So you have before you a resolution to amend the program manual in connection with release of co-borrowers. The attachment to the resolution sets forth the amendment, which will exclude residents, exclude co-borrowers who are residents of Colorado and Maine from the co-borrower release provisions in connection with education loans originated on or after March 10, 2022. And this is due to recently enacted Colorado and Maine legislation regarding co-borrower co-signer release provisions.
Okay.
Is that legislation effective March 22?
No, that March 10, 2022 would be the effective date of the program manual change because we have to publish it for 30 days. So that would be the effective date of the change in the program manual.
So we could be violating Colorado law if somebody comes to release their co-borrower in that state prior to that date.
Well, we would comply with the law up until that date if if any loans were originated with co-borrowers in those states. So up until that date, they would get the benefit because we'd have to comply with the law.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? I'd entertain a motion to approve the amendment to the program manual for the CHESL loan program. Someone like to move that?
This is Ben, so moved.
Thank you, Ben. Is there a second?
Second, Julie.
Thank you, Julie. Any further questions or comments or discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries. All right, is there any item of new business that anyone would like to bring forward? Any topic? Anything for the good of the cause? Anyone? All right, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn and we will we've got a motion to move adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second it. Discussion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.